they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about everything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, C-Bass.
Wake up!
What's wake up, America?
Wake the fuck up.
Yo, yo, what up, my man?
Not much. How you doing, bro?
Shit, man. Just been, it's not been a bad day, but, it's like sometimes, like, everything's going right, and then you're like, what the fuck?
Can't relate.
I've been on this computer all day. Well, I've been on for the last 2 days doing all kinds of fucking, I'm still trying to fucking upload all of our, I have so much of our podcast that I have to upload to the RSS feed. I'm like, man, because, like, once they start piling up, man, I'm like, Jesus, man. And then sometimes, luckily this time I didn't, sometimes I forget to record. So then I have to go back and re-record. Hey, right? This is our,
all good.
This is our first season, you know what I mean?
it's all a learning experience in the end.
Yeah, man. Well, did you have a Merry Christmas? Want to wish a Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Merry Christmas, everyone. I did have a good Christmas, you know, spent a little time with the direct family and ate good, drank a little too much, you know.
Same, how
you
supposed to I ate too much, drank too much.
Yeah, as tradition, I guess.
Yeah, and then the family almost killed each other over the new Monopoly, you know what I mean? We broke out the Monopoly in there.
I bet, dude.
The shadiness started coming out of people. You were like, Grandma, what?
Monopoly destroys friendships and families, I think. It's a fun game, but it brings out the worst in some people.
Oh yeah, they get. I don't really care. I don't take it as serious. I'm more of the drinking and the eating part. But like, no, I thought it was a pretty good Christmas for me. I obviously everybody's is different, but it seemed like a lot of people I know were celebrating and you know had enjoyed with their family.
Yep, absolutely. You know, getting together. There was quite a bit of traveling still, even though they were telling everyone not to. You know, which of course they're going to blame any sort of increase in the case numbers on, you know, those terrible people who went and saw their family members for the first time in months because we've been on lockdown this whole year.
and they're going to, yeah, they are going to do that. And then I think they're also going to, because you know how they have that new mutation. I think they're going to use that as like, so when people get sick after taking the vaccine, they're going to be like, oh, that's the new mutation. That's why. I think they're going to use that as an excuse.
It's funny because some of the damaging symptoms you can get are somewhat flu-like or respiratory issues. So, you know, they could tie it back together. Well, but there's a lot of crazy stuff going on with all that right now. The mutations and the vaccine rollouts, all the adverse reactions. So,
yeah, and they're still rolling out and they're still just trying to figure out which way they're going to go with it. I've noticed that they're like kind of like each time they're kind of going different, like, oh, this was because of this, or there's no blanket answer yet of why things are happening. They're just kind of like letting it unfold. And Then, of course, there was that, I mean, I know I'm jumping through tons of stuff, but, like, most people are talking about that Nashville bombing, you know, I mean, obviously, the timing of Christmas. What was it, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
It was Christmas Day. It was in the morning when it all started. There was, like, gunshots to start with, and then there was a warning coming from the van, and then the explosion happened. And I think they just confirmed, the FBI did, that it was the, what is it, Q Watkins, Anthony Q Watkins?
Yeah, that's the person of interest? Or
It's Warner, not Watkins.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you're right.
He was the suspect, and they said they confirmed from DNA that he was the one in the RV, I guess.
So he killed himself?
Apparently. I don't know. It's from the FBI. That's the direct source, so make of that what you will.
Yeah.
That. I don't know, like, there's so much weird stuff going on around all this, and there's tons of other incidents, like random, you know, shooting events or other bomb threats that have happened. Like, there's several examples. There was a shooting in Illinois.
Yep.
I believe there was one in Florida as well.
And then today there was that police respond to bomb threat in the Empire State Building.
Yep, I saw that as well.
There was some... So it looks like there's, like, to me, it's just like there's a bunch of false flags. I think it's a mix. I think a lot of it, what they're trying to do right now is push that domestic terrorist, like, kind of, like, without saying it yet, you know what I mean? But that's why they call, you know, the nationalists, the white nationalists. But pretty soon we're going to, to me, the things that they're preparing us for is cyber terrorists and domestic terrorists to be the number one enemies coming in the next 10 years or so.
Yeah. Particularly the lone wolf terrorists, you know, yes. Kind of people are acting out on their own. And that's what, like, all these incidents seem like. I mean, the timing is suspicious, to say the least, where it's all coordinated like that. But they've already tried pinning the whole Nashville thing on the guy because he was tied to, I guess he would believed in QAnon. So there's a lot of rumors going on. The QAnon community is very much thinking, like, this is a false flag for sure. And then there's people I'm hearing that are like, oh, this is just cope. Like, this is someone who's trusted the plan for too long and the plan isn't going as well as they hoped. And maybe they're kind of breaking a little bit. But it seems weird because they're all happening at once. And the location and the manner of these events are, like, especially the Nashville one, it's outside of that AT&T building, which has NSA data servers that are used for, you know, monitoring civilians, and as well as it serves the Georgia area, which is, as we know, a swing state in this last election.
Yeah, and I was reading in the Gateway Pundit, because I was a little bit off, you know, because on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day this year, I was like, I ain't going to read nothing, and I just spent time with the family. So, I mean, I still heard about the Nashville thing because it was, like, pretty big. But when I started looking into it today, I looked in it a little bit last night and started looking more today. And this one says, Nashville Christmas bombing shut down AT&T network for hundreds of miles. 911 centers disrupted. Internet service affected. Apps in Georgia. So it kind of makes me think that they're going to push towards that, to where they're like picking away and getting people used to these cyber terrorist threats, domestic cyber terrorist attacks, where they can, like, oh, okay, look, like, this American just snapped, you know what I mean? He didn't know what he was doing, blah, 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 like you said. And that's what the whole setup for the QAnon thing is. To me, QAnon is the new conspiracy word. That's what I think it is.
Oh, very much so. And you're kind of seeing that kind of slid into the propaganda in a big way from the mainstream media. They're already been saying it's like QAnon's unsafe. Like, how should you deal with family members who are involved with, like, the talking points of this. They don't even know what QAnon really is, or at least they don't actually talk about what the real idea behind it is. They just say it's dangerous, which is the propaganda war in itself is, like, interesting and, like, right there.
Well, they just picked the actual, like, most craziest thing is they go, oh, well, they say that satanic people run the world. You know what I mean? Because, like, whether it's not or true or not true, like, that's not the debatable point. But if you tell someone that, they're going to be like, whoa, that sounds crazy. So they try to pick out the craziest facts that people use. And that's not even the whole people. That's usually, like, every group has some out there people, you know what I mean, that, like, may think something crazier than others. And they use those people, like, always, you know what I mean? They pick the people that are kind of with the, they're with the movement, but they're a little bit more extreme, and they're very, and there's a small percentage of them, but they use them as the example.
Yeah, and then they can always use one person's actions to kind of discredit the whole ideology or wherever, you know, they're coming from as a group. And I think that with the, you know, the cyber attacks and little lone wolf acts of terrorism, it's, it just makes it easier for them to create these false flags, if they are false flags or not. But if they aren't false flags, they're going to seize the opportunity to create a tighter security state in the process.
For sure. Like, well, I've been, I'm stealing them, but who cares? I got a couple more. Like, I've been getting a little bit more jingles and drops. So this is what I think is coming back now. This is the domestic terrorist.
ISIS. We will follow them to the gates of hell.
ISIS.
I feel good.
I think that's what's coming back. Oh, oops. I think that's what's coming back. I think ISIS. I think Biden's going to start talking about ISIS heavy. Like, if he does get it. I mean, Lynn Wood, man, swears that fucking Trump is going to be inaugurated on January 20th. I'm not saying it is not going to happen, but he's pretty adamant about it.
Yeah, and he's even saying stuff like Pence is a traitor, and that's going to, that kind of like preludes to like how Pence could sway the election on January 6th in Trump's way. But it's kind of, it would be like he'd have to really put his reputation, his neck out on the line either way. So it's going to be interesting to see where his loyalties lie when it comes to that day. But I definitely, going back to your ISIS point, that is definitely, definitely on the cards for 2021, because you know that's going to be the ticket in for foreign intervention in, yep, Syria and Iraq and all these other Middle Eastern countries at the globalist camp, you know, a.k.a. the Bidens and Clintons and Bushes. Like, they're all going to push for more Middle Eastern wars with this. And so, of course, ISIS will be coming back.
Oh, yeah, big time. They're coming back big, big time. And like I said, but it's going to be not like the Twin Towers. They're going to do the 2030 of it. You know what I mean? The new version of it is going to be cyber. And that's why everybody's been warning about, like, the blackouts. I don't know if it's going to be on that scale. I think they're going to try to they're going to use a point that's scary. That's why they usually pick cities like New York, Paris, you know, these huge viewing points around the world. You know, New York is talked about all over the world. So that's why if something happens there, it's, you know what I mean? Like, they're not talking about the Oklahoma City bombing all the time. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
that's history, man. That doesn't get brought up at all anymore.
Yeah,
outside
hardly
of
ever.
Critical thinking circles. But I think there's a potential that not only cyber or like conventional terrorists like 9/11 attack.
Whoa, you froze up. Hold on.
Potential for, you know, characters like ISIS to use bioweapons in the near future to kind of bring down the medical scare of COVID and other diseases like that, the invisible enemies, because they bring more fear in the end than actual terrorism.
Yeah, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, how we were talking about, they were warning about cyber attacks for the Pfizer vaccine because they had to be at such cold temperatures that maybe, yep, they would attack the chain line, you know what I mean? The whole route, and they were worried about that. And there was a lot of articles about that, and that tells me that they're going to start pushing this terror thing again, but I think they're going to stick to digital, and that's why they're going to be able to be like, we have to censor people because there's terrorists everywhere and blah, 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 and that's going to be the new thing.
And that will lead to an erasure of any sort of privacy for the individual, so, you know, that plays into their hands as well. They'll use all these crises to, you know, create more of a dystopian.
Well, it's just sad because people aren't really focused on the Great Reset. A lot of people think, oh, well, he just wrote a book, it's not a big deal. I'm like, yeah, but the thing is that all the leaders across the world listen to this World Economic Forum. They are interested in a lot of their agenda. Maybe not every single world leader or every single like representative or whatever, but a big portion of them do. And they go there and they believe what they believe. And whether, yeah, it's good or bad, but like to me it's not good because they don't focus on the actual problems we need to address. They're just trying to throw band-aids on and throw everything under the rug.
It's almost like, for me, I think they kind of pre-engineer these crises They were talking about, you know, a big pandemic beforehand, with several different simulations and war game events. So, you know, these big government international bodies, or trans government even, goes beyond government, like the World Economic Forum, the Council of Foreign Relations. These guys are the Illuminati. These guys are the quote-unquote enlightened ones, and they're the ones that are calling the shots.
Most definitely. And they have all the money, the power, like, not even money, because money really isn't as much as we think it is. They like to make us think, man, like, we're playing Monopoly. Is the point of that, you can have tons of money, but if you have no real estate, then what is it? You have nothing. You have no property, so you're going to lose in the end because you're going to keep spending that money.
Yep. It's how you use that money and the leverage it gets you. And they very much know how to do it. They designed the game to be rigged in their favor for a long time. You know, the way you kind of look at the fiat currency, the Federal Reserve, all the banking systems that are linked to the, you know, the whole globalist agenda.
Oh, yeah. That's why I really like this article that you found, that you dug up. The suspicion is growing. Nanoparticles in Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine triggering rare allergic reactions.
Yeah, that's an interesting article. I'd recommend people go read it. It's pretty in depth. I only took a couple excerpts out of it, but some of the stuff that really stood out to me is starting here: is severe allergy-like reactions in the last 8 people who received the COVID-19 vaccine produced by Pfizer and BioNTech over the past 2 weeks may be due to a compound in the packaging of the messenger RNA that forms the vaccine's main ingredient. Scientists say a similar mRNA vaccine developed by Moderna, which was authorized for emergency use in the United States on Friday, also contains a compound, polyethylene glycol, PEG. Now, PEG has never been used before in an approved vaccine, but is found in many drugs that have occasionally triggered anaphylaxis, a potentially life-threatening reaction that causes rashes, plummeting of blood pressure, shortness of breath, and a fast heartbeat. Some allergists and immunologists believe a small number of people previously exposed to PEG may have high levels of antibodies against PEG, putting them at risk of anaphylactic reaction to the vaccine. Now, it goes on to say later on, PEGs were no longer thought to be biologically inert, but a growing body of evidence suggests they are not. As much as 72% of people who have at least some antibodies against PEGs, according to a 2016 study led by Samuel Lay, a pharmaco-engineer at the University of North Carolina, presumes as a result of exposure to cosmetic and pharmaceuticals. About 7% have a level that may be high enough to predispose them to anaphylactic reactions, he found. So that makes taking the vaccine quite, like, significantly more risky. And because people, they don't know what, how, like, people have been exposed to in their, you know, medical history or just what they do in their day-to-day basis. So I'm saying, like, the dangers of these vaccines is far from known, and it could be very, very dangerous.
But, yeah, I think so, but, like,
Tell your fake internet girlfriend you're going to be AFK for about 10 minutes because it's motherfucking science time.
So it's science, bro. We can't, like, deny the science. And all these science deniers, you know, like, it's good for us, you know? Like, you should take the vaccine, as many as you can. Like, well, I think it's interesting, though, because we've been talking about the nanos for forever, man. Like, the whole DARPA thing.
We were speculating on it at first, too. Yeah. But to find out, it's actually present in the vaccine.
Yeah, it's like, that's probably what is causing the allergic reactions. And it makes a lot of sense because there's no live virus. There's like these proteins. And then you're like, well, what else is in there? And they may have tested on a few soldiers, but those soldiers are in a different physical condition than the average American. You know what I mean? The average American's probably in the greatest shape.
If you're in the military, you're well above the health standard of the average American, I would say.
And those videos that we saw and things we've saw about DARPA, they didn't explain any of the side effects that soldiers experience. They just say the good parts.
Yeah, yeah. And there was even, like, studies say, or articles questioning this actual studies because there's no idea what the placebo actually was, if it was just a saline shot or if it actually was the same thing as the vaccine to kind of muddy the waters of the data so they can manipulate it however they choose.
And like we said the whole time, is like the point of them not letting us, wanting us to discuss it. It's not about saying if it's right or wrong. Like, obviously, like, we don't know. We only know what we can read and the stuff that we could dig up. But when I see a lot of other prominent physicians and scientists and virologists and epidemiologists all like kind of sticking together. And so there's a whole nother side to it. So it is very easy to see that people would use this to benefit themselves. And I think it's an administration problem and it's a policy problem because it starts from the top, right? Like obviously the nurse that's giving you the vaccine isn't like in on it. You know what I mean? They're not, they believe that it is the right thing. They think, hey, this is a good thing for you. But that's because of the way they were taught, the way, and they believe in the authority. So us that don't really like that question authority, they don't understand it because they're very compliant. You know what I mean? They were good in school. They listen to, they go, we got to do what I got to do. So they just see that instead of questioning the authority. And I think we need more nurses and people in those positions, because we could say all we want, but people are like, you're not a doctor, you're not a scientist. We need more and more people in these fields, especially I'd like to see a lot more lab technicians come forward, especially talking about the PCR process and the cycle counts.
There's a good question, but he's asking, do you think they're ignorant or that they're bought out? Dylan Liverpool knew. I think it's a combination of both. Like they buy into what they're taught in, you know, their very expensive medical degrees, but at the same time, they're in debt for these same medical degrees. They can't really, if they question it a little bit in their gut, they're not going to risk their careers and go even worse in debt, not be able to pay those loans off just to question it.
Yeah. And if you just look at a regular warehouse, I just think of it, everything. When I'm talking about cops, teachers, nurses, anything, I'd still put it in the perspective of, like, any job. And at a warehouse, I've seen it plenty of times where people will do, say, things that they may not usually be or act a certain way to get into a position because whether they think it's going to be better for their family or better for their career, like you said, whatever the steps, they, people are willing to step on people. And the 80s really pushed that whole do what you got to do to get ahead. Like, don't worry about stepping on people. Don't worry about doing a little bit of shady shit. Don't worry about stepping on toes. And I think that really put it in that into people's perspective. And that's now in our minds. So like every job we do is like, I'm out for me. I'm out for me. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that's part exactly. of it. Like you said, it's not a one size fits all. Cause every single situation is different because you need to have, we're trying to take over, Carlos, you know, we need all of you guys, though. It can't just be us. That's what's good, though, is there is, like I said, we keep saying, there's a lot of people that are just like, man, we're not. They're tired of this. There's plenty of videos of people opening their restaurants or kicking out health inspectors, hassling them. I saw a really good one where the guy blocked in the health inspector, and people were, you know, the cop came, and the cop was like, you know, trying to, like, not scold him, but pretty much, you know, tell him like, hey, you can't do this, blah, 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 this and that. And he's like, are you getting a paycheck? Oh, you are. Are you getting a paycheck? Oh, you are. Oh, are you getting a paycheck? Oh, you are. Well, guess what? My cook's not getting a paycheck. She's not getting a paycheck. My head cook that just had a kid is not having it. And I'm like, yeah, that's the perspective they don't see. Of course, they go, I'm just doing my job. I'm like, that's a cop out. You gotta like, that's your choice you're making though. You're still making that choice. Like, I used to do repos, right? I used to repossess people's cars. And there's been times where I'm like, I didn't see this car. You know what I mean? That's my choice at that moment. Is it my job to go and get that car? Yeah, it was my job. But I assessed the situation, and I looked at it like, well, damn, this lady's fucked. You know what I mean? I'm just going to pretend I didn't see it. Now, I made a conscious decision to do that. I don't have to do that, but I chose to do that. So that's why I keep saying, like, this whole, oh, I'm just doing my job. That nonsense, at some point you have to choose a side, especially with what's going on in society. That's why I love the Brits, man. They come in with the best chance, man. That pick, choose your side. Choose your side. That's the best one, man.
There's a little bit of lyricism there for sure.
Yeah, they got the best chance, you know, with all the football and shit they watch, man. They got the best fucking chance. And that's what it needs to come down to, is that people on all sides, whether it's not just the police, it's the people that are in positions of authority, need to choose a side at some moment. that are you on the side of oligarchs or are you on the side of the people? That's it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. And for the record, yeah, the Nazis were not just saying doing my job was not a justifiable excuse. They were still hung.
Yeah.
At the Nuremberg trial. So, you know, playing the ignorant card and, you know, just saying that was your job. You're just trying to provide for your family, collect your paycheck. You know, at the end of the day, that is not a good answer. That's a cop-out, like you said. People know, like, those officers know when they're going to a restaurant and they're arresting the owner because they're just trying to make a living. They know they're shutting him down. They know they're taking away their livelihood.
And they know it's wrong.
Yeah. They should know. If they don't know it's wrong, if they don't believe it's wrong, then they need to have a real hard look at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah, and then another thing, I know I didn't put this in the show notes. The show notes was a little bit different this week because we're both kind of, like you said, recovering from good old holiday festivities. But I wanted to address this real quick. The
fact check false.
The whole fact checkers. Because, like, I thought it was incredible that they fact-checked the stimulus bill. Okay, they're fucking technically they're right? That technically, yeah. That it's not the stimulus bill. But they're also technically wrong because it's all in the same bill. That was everything. It was like Section M was the stimulus bill. So that... When I saw
the
that
government spending package, the omnibus bill, yeah. And the COVID relief is inside of it, and it's a nice little shit sandwich where you know you got your COVID relief and like adding extension to unemployment insurance and renters rental protection. But inside, then you have all that pork, foreign aid out the wazoo. There's just so much crap in that spending bill. Like, what was it, $1.48 billion to Ukraine for military aid? I guess we're planning on using the Ukrainians as an infinite proxy war the next administration, obviously, against the Russians.
Yeah, that seems like it's going to go on forever, right?
Right. You know, Biden has just all these real interesting connections to the Ukrainians.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was just
they
incredible.
They were one of the biggest recipients of foreign government-wise. They're in the top five, I think.
But that is just 100% proof, the proof we needed that, like, okay, we already know that these fact-checkers are biased. We already know these fact-checkers are propaganda. But that's 100% proof because you're like, why are you fact-checking that? That's not it's not like a crazy false claim like that's like dangerous because supposedly you were only fact-checking and censoring people because it was dangerous and detrimental to people, right? Now you're saying like, oh, no, they didn't give – they're still in a bill. They're sending money to Israel. They're sending money to
$500 million to Israel.
And what – $175 million of that is to go to ballistic missiles so they can go blow up more Palestinians. It's wild. And then Biden's I don't remember the one of his new cabinet members, like he's already went out and said, like, it's not about America first. It's about, you know, a global agenda. He didn't say it in those exact words. Like, I'm not quoting him, but he was basically saying it has to be about the whole world. And I'm like, no, it has to be America first. We have to take care of ourselves. We have a lot of problems. We have communities that need help. We have the Black community that needs help. We have, you know, Mexican communities, other impoverished communities like trailer park communities, you know what I mean? Bad infrastructure. We have opioid crisis. We have things we need to take care of. I'm not saying we should, like, you know what I mean? We have to control our borders. We have to control all of our shit. We need our troops home. We need to regroup. And this whole, like, all these liberals that are going along with the whole pushing for this globalization, I think that they're falsely just still trying to ride that fuck Donald Trump train. And I'm like, you don't see what's happening? Like, how long is it going to take for you to see it?
A lot of low information, you know, voters and political activists. Keyboard warriors, they're all about it. Like anything that will, you know, spite Trump. I feel like that's kind of why there's a lot of media attention being given to like these adverse reactions from the Pfizer vaccine. Like they're kind of highlighting it a bit more than I would have expected normally, you know, because I thought they'd be kind of protecting it. But I think it's also to kind of pin more blame on Trump, like I was saying last week. But
and then I got additionally, it's like, oh my bad, not to cut you off, but like. I'm going to pull up because we're talking about this. So I was like, well, let me pull up what you sent me. Here's a breakdown of you. I don't know if you have it in front of you, the breakdown of the 900. I think you should break that down because if people don't know.
I don't have the whole thing in front of me.
Yeah, just what you
it's
got.
It's worth a read, though, from Zero Hedge. Let's see.
Let's see what you got.
So let's see. $900 billion COVID bill aid that includes assistance for households and businesses, as well as funding for vaccine distribution and more. So right there, that's a big problem point for me is spending money, you know, more money that should just go to actual households and people and businesses, small businesses. But it's going to go for the vaccine distribution because, you know, we'll open up the country after that. Psych, they won't open up the country after.
Well, because we already paid for the vaccines.
Yeah, exactly.
Guaranteed.
You know, it goes on. It's like talking about unemployment insurance and, you know, renter's protection. There's a lot of different stuff in there that's good stuff. And I think you're seeing that in the media where it's getting held against Trump, where I think he just voted. I got a news notification saying that he voted to pass a stimulus just before we got on.
Okay, but, so yeah, they were trying to cool because they were pressuring each other back and forth. That's why his two when he came out
like,
and said,
"Oh,
that,
you don't want to give $600 to the poor people because you don't like the bill." And it's like, take out the pork and it's a fair deal. But if you're gonna give, you know, something like 2.something trillion to foreign countries or just to causes that are not, you know, benefit to the actual people, like.
Yeah, or even, yeah, like the Smithsonian, like I think it's the Smithsonian and, or the other institute that they did. But one of Nancy Pelosi's like daughters or something, or maybe it's granddaughter. I don't know. One of her relatives works at one of them. I think the JFK Center. That's the one she works at.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting coincidence right there.
Yeah. And to me, this is how I look at it. I feel like some of the foreign countries are just like GOP funnels. To funnel money and DNC funnels, and then same thing with these institutions, these JFK centers and the all these little those are just funneling centers where they funnel all this money and they give it back to themselves. That's how these politicians, and they're already living a good life because the average American that makes minimum wage, I'm not sure what it is anymore federally. I think federally it might be around $10, something like that. Think about the average American makes $30,000 to $40,000, say. I might be overestimating, right? They make $100,000 off the top. So it's like they're already making more money than us. And then they get to make all these side deals. Plus, they get to have all this access to foreign influence that can be sold and bought.
Yep. There are a lot of big money fronts in foreign countries that congressmen have sold out to, and you know, they like to wash money through, and it kind of comes back around to them and their, you know, private equity. It's pretty dirty game. There was one interesting or a couple interesting items in the actual spending bill, but I noticed the House of Representatives members voted to give, or they're voting to give themselves a pay raise, you know, while people haven't been able to work. And then the Senate, part of the deal for the Senate was that they get like $87 million towards office renovations and, you know, stuff of that nature. So
that's important.
A lot of, they're making sure that they're well taken care of up there in D.C.
and they got health insurance. They ain't got to worry about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been collecting a check all year, whereas people haven't been able to work.
Yeah, and for Nancy Pelosi to say, well, it's not as much as I wanted, but $600 is significant. That is not significant. Look, I'm lucky. I'm blessed. Like, I didn't have to get shut down this whole time. I've been able to work. Like, a lot of my people have been able to work. But I know some other people that have not. They've had either their job was shut down, their business was shut down, or it was altered to where they're not making as much as they were and they had to lay people off. That affects more people. And to deny that fact, that's the thing that I don't get, is that we're constantly denying this fact. And like people are like, yeah, well, then we had to do that. I'm like, did we, though? Like, I don't get it. Like, well, like I said all the time, like with this mask, everybody's like, oh, we wear a mask. We're good. Like, what's the big deal? Like, for instance, today I went to a 7-Eleven, right? I went to go get cigarettes. Like, I just had the mask in my hand. I walked in and I was like, well, man, there's a bunch of people that don't have it on. I seen this lady with it down her chin. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to get cigarettes anyways. She's standing. She's over here. I see her walking from the Slurpee machine, walk over right here. I'm like, hey, no problem if you want to go first, right? She goes, looks at me and goes, oh. And she puts her mask on. I was like, fuck it, I'll go.
On her chin and everything. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, you just walked around the whole store with that on your chin. And, like, literally, yeah. You're still far away from me. Like, we're a good 4 or 5 feet apart. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm all up on her. Like, I would just, like, oh, do you want to go first? Like, I would just, and I was going to start stepping back so she can go. Because I would do that normally. She just, like, was like, oh, fuck, oh, shit. And I was like, all right. And I was like, let me just get a pack of.
Oh, man. It's tough these days. Like, there's lots of little hypocrites out there like that, you know. Yeah, they'll wear their mask wrong, and then they're, like, act crazy when they don't see you wearing yours at all. Like, it's madness, you know. There's a lot of cognitive dissonance that is, you know, pushed down on people very in an intense way on all fronts, like social media, the news, you know, commercials now. Like, they have people with masks and shit. They've been doing that for a while, but... along with predictive programming, like this level of MK Ultra and the propaganda is hitting people with kind of like the low level awareness, like they're not paying attention to this stuff. It's hitting them so hard, and it's working very effectively on them.
I think too, because the last 6 to 8 years, people also been heavier, even me, like been heavier on social media. So I remember when I was young. Yeah. When I was like 18-ish, 19-ish, we had MySpace and shit. We'd fuck around with it. Like, don't get me wrong. We'd still do. But, like, it wasn't like, I mean, people were like a little bit like, oh, man, I'm not your top friends. Like, there was stupid stuff like that. That's what, like, that was the beginning of it. But you didn't really.
That was high school drama. Yeah.
It wasn't like you didn't you didn't think of that much big deal of it. But now it's even more because even those same people now, like, that are my age and even older, they. Kind of just fall into this weird trap of like they're like posting everything online. Hey, I gotta have this certain family Christmas photo, this Thanksgiving photo. Like, I know that people were already like that. Like, my aunt was all about taking pictures before there was internet. But what I'm saying is, like, it's a lot more people like that because they're like, oh, Tom and Joan next door, fucking, they did this picture where they fucking went to the mountains and da 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 da. And they see this life of other of people's life, and it makes it easier for people to compare their lives to other people. So I think we're like in that, and then you layer that with some MK Ultra manipulation. It's like you're pushing people over the top.
And then, you know, the whole social distancing and the lockdowns and, you know, stay at home challenge or whatever. It's like it's all pushing people onto the platform more, so that the, you know, the propaganda has much more of an effect. Yeah,
they want it to be.
It's a phony life, like homie's saying right here.
Yeah,
it's fake, and it's not the real deal you're seeing from a lot of people you know. Even.
Well, it's also because when they stuff people in their houses, and then people were afraid, especially, you know, I understood people being afraid, like not knowing what it is. Maybe you do have ailments, or you have a family member that has ailments, or maybe you don't quite understand what the underlining issues that are problematic. So maybe you're just scared in general. That's totally understandable. Why wouldn't you be? All of us were, right? You know what I mean? Because then we're like, whoa, is it a biological weapon? Is it something, you know, it's something to definitely take seriously. And I'm not saying don't even take it seriously now, but I think that it turned us into these, like, we're the enemy now. You know what I mean? Like, the enemy is a common man instead of, like, my authority. They want the authority, the authoritarianism, to be left alone, and we're bickering with amongst each other, fighting each other, instead of looking at the true problem is the authoritarianism.
Yeah, very true. You know, they've got everyone kind of divide and conquer tactics working on overdrive, you know, getting everyone to fight with each other rather than go after who the people who are causing the actual problems in societal, you know, downfall.
Yeah, and they're just fucking hypocrites, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I put this story. I know everybody probably already heard it by now, like, but the Dr. Birx White House coronavirus coordinator says she will retire. That's one of the stories. But then there's also that story about, like, she went to go see her family on Thanksgiving, and then she was like, no, well, we had to winterize the house, you know. It's not that we were things. Yes, we ate dinner, but it was not, and we social dis. No, come on, man. It's how many times do we have to see, do as I say, not as I do? If it's so crazy, if it's something that it, if you work in these facilities, we're not in a laboratory every day talking to different virologists and epidemiologists and all these different scientists and doctors asking them about this virus, right? They're around this. They have to hear the chatter. So they know. Do you think that if it was something that they felt like was completely so deadly, they would be like, man, fuck that? Because they're selfish. People are, in general, people are inherently selfish. They're going to look at what's best for their lives. They probably wouldn't go out then. They would follow these orders. They don't because they know what it really is. Either whether it's fake or whether it's not as deadly or whatever it is, or if the numbers are fucked up and they kind of know and they're like, let's just run with it. They know what they're doing. And I think that we need to address that more as the people is like, hey, they know what they're doing, and we need to keep calling them out on it. Like, hey, we know you're fucking lying.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, too, because, you know, the mainstream media always puts these people, like, especially Fauci's a good example. They put him in such a, like, you know, positive propagandist light, and they never really get hit with the hard questions that we, the people, are, you know, you see it, people throw it up in memes and, you know, on a long Facebook or Instagram rant, but they don't really get access to the people in power to actually throw these hard questions at them.
And someone said, call it out to who? Call it out to, like, every media site. Like, we can't push
politicians that are pro-lockdown, for one.
Yeah, first of all, you email, call, like, you have to get your voice heard, like, and also, not even just that, but even talk to your coworkers, your family members. It's not about telling them, like, oh, this is fake. Or no, be like, look, man, do you understand that in history, whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a crisis, people in power try to grab more power every time? It's not about conspiracies. It's not about right or wrong. You know what I mean? It's about us versus them. It's always been about that. But they keep it us versus us. So if we keep arguing of, oh, this is a fake virus, no, it's a real virus, the problem we're dealing with is we're dealing with people that are scared. You know what I mean? So when people are scared, they don't think logically. They don't use So you have to find a good way to, like, comfort them. You have to, like, give and take, right? So when you talk to them, hear them out first, hear why they're scared, and then if you already know why they're scared, then you can kind of, like, hey, don't be scared because blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Fill in the blanks for them that they have missed. You know, a lot of people that I tell, I go, hey, do you realize that 85% of the people that were in ICU beds had vitamin D deficiency? That's a huge thing. Is it a cure? Is it a miracle? No. But it's something that to educate yourself, like, if you are vitamin D deficient, then maybe taking more vitamin D would be good for you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of nutritional stuff that gets missed, and it doesn't get pushed forward at all throughout this health crisis. You know, it's never about boosting your immunity or, you know, being more healthy. They're not promoting, you know, people to exercise more. In fact, they're telling people to stay in their home at all costs, and they're going after people who are, you know, just going for a run in their neighborhood. Like, there's no spread there. It's not dangerous. I feel like there's a big agenda to kind of weaken people's immunity to make them more susceptible to this. And you're seeing it kind of too with the numbers reflected in, like, countries and states that lock down harder have higher cases.
Well, I don't think, maybe, like you said, well, I think it's I agree with you, but I'm gonna take it a step further. I think it's not even just for this. I think they want our immune system be down for a lot of other viruses and other things that we have to deal with, because that's true. Just more money for pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, agreed. And it's this whole year has kind of proven to be a big racket for big pharma in a way, from the vaccines and stuff. Like, we had an article last week, I don't think we got into, where the CEO of Pfizer made a big stock dump of stock he owned of the company, like, the day it was approved by the FDA, which is interesting in itself. Make of that of what you will.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because I've seen that story a couple times. I keep forgetting to put it, too, because, like you said, there's tons of stories every week. Like, because everything keeps developing. It's quite impossible. Especially, like, I was digging around on the World Economic Forum website lately, but they seem to be quite quiet. not making too much noise, just kind of going with the flow, you know, like talking about climate change, talking about racial injustice. And the thing that disheartens me is that people got to realize that all these things are things that we do need. Like, we do need to take care of the environment. Like, we do need to clean. Like, the one thing that trips me out is, like, we're always talking about climate change. Why are we never talking about cleaning the oceans? Like, when they when they put, what her name, Greta Thunberg, right? They go, she champions it, right? And I go, well, why didn't you champion the kid? He's like 20, 21 maybe now. But when he was 16, 15, he started developing something to clean the oceans. I'm like, that's a guy that I want to see advocating for cleaning up the environment. Not this kid that doesn't quite understand or grasp and is obviously using a script, because we've seen videos of her where she has a script and she doesn't have a script. She's like AOC. They're very similar. If you take that script away and they're like, you know?
Very much. It's, you know, you kind of see they have these characters that will pull on people's, the general public's heartstrings and kind of get them to be brought in by the emotional triggers of that propaganda. But additionally, it's like, for me, it's like, how can you simultaneously be pro-globalization and anti, you know, or a climate activist? Because one of the biggest contributors to globalization is the industrialization of India and China, and the fact that we're shipping massive amounts of freight across the oceans on these extremely dirty shipping transport ships. Those big cargo containers, those put out so much, you know, terrible environmental things into the air, you know, CO2 and stuff like that. They put out more CO2 than several thousand cars all at once.
Well, that's the problem with the Green New Deal, is that we're going to be affected by it because we're not going to be able to afford the tax. So we're going to have to stay indoors, or we're not going to be able to drive, or we're not going to be able to do this. But the people who, like, the huge corporations that are polluting like crazy, the people that they need to be putting in check, are not going to, they're going to fall in line, because they're going to be like, oh, what's the tax? $2 million? Here you go. Whatever it is, you know what I mean? Yeah. We could pay the carbon taxes. And they're going to wheel in deals and make it so that they can get money some other way. Just like, I thought it was interesting, like, Apple made this big old, when they rolled out the iPhone 12. They were like, we took out the little, what's it called? The fucking, you know, the back end, the little plug part for the charger.
Oh, yeah.
And we saved this much carbon and blah, 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 right? And then I'm thinking, like, no, you didn't. I was like, because people still got to buy shit. So what are you going to do? You're going to make more of those chargers that you set it on, you know, so you can make more money.
Like magnetic chargers.
Yeah, because that's what they're trying to push for. That's what they want, because they're more expensive. So I'm like, how are you saving the environment? You're going to make even more because, yeah, you saved it on that particular shipment. So you're falsifying numbers, man. You're showing the good numbers that are true.
Yes.
But you're not showing the other ones.
I'm sure they don't mention in that report anything about, like, the lithium batteries and stuff, and how, you know, in Africa they're using child workers to harvest this lithium. And they use this also in the batteries for hybrid electric cars too. So that's something to be keeping in mind of. And they don't mention any of that. It's very unethical. And they come on this virtue signal vibe, like, oh, I have an electric car. I was like, do you know child slave labor was used to harvest your lithium for your batteries? No, you didn't. But you're just going to try and rub it in my face that you have a more ecologically friendly vehicle. You know,
get out of here. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Be like, do you know how many coups were started to build that Prius?
Exactly, man. There's probably several.
Yeah, and that's what I think is funny, too, is, like, it's like, dude, just use a little logic, man. I'm not saying, like, I get it. Like, I want you to do better. And if you think that's better, I'm not shitting on you for trying to do better. But stop thinking that you, oh, I fixed the world. I bought a Prius. Nah, man, it's a bigger problem than that. You have to look, what's the bottom line? Why are they pushing these agendas? It's all about money. It always is about money in the end.
Yeah. And if you're, like, really trying to be super environmentally savvy, it's probably riding a bicycle and walking is the best thing you could do.
Yeah.
It's possible. But, you know, another big thing I feel like that, you know, it's tied to the flying as well. Because, long-distance flights have a big tie to global warming. And they're probably going to make a carbon tax, like homie's saying here. It's going to apply to that, like how much you're allowed to fly. Only the elites will be, you know, given free rein to fly around.
Yeah, I agree. And I
the science is in. Science.
It's in, man. They said that it's a global warming is happening, whether you like it or not. And I would, like I said, like, why aren't we talking about cleaning up? Like, I like the idea when they say, like, hey, pick up after yourself, put it in a recycling bin. Like, that is a real thing. Like, we will, like, overfill these landfills very soon. You know what I mean? Like, we do have to think of alternates. Like, but then I'm like, well, why don't you use hemp instead of regular plastic? Because it's biodegradable. Yeah. So there's things that they could be doing. And that is why the same thing with climate change and the same thing with COVID, I put them together because to me, they use the same method. They try to, the same method of manipulation, the same propaganda. You know, you have to do this for others. It's not just for you. It's for the next generation. It's for your kids' kids. It's for your grandkids. And they try to use this in the same format. And they've manipulated a lot of kids because, you know, they have that Sunrise Movement. The Sunrise Movement is an activist group. AOC is kind of like a grassroots of it, and Ilhan Omar, like the whole progressive crowd. But, like, mainly these are, like, kids, like junior high kids and freshmen. And they're trying to get them early because it's just the same way as the Red Guard. Like, to me, it just all resembles the Red Guard type of shit. Cause
I was just about to say that, too.
You get these children, and they go after their parents, like, oh, man, mom, you're using a little bit too much air conditioning, or you're, you know what I mean? It starts little like that. And which is not bad. Like, obviously, conserving is not a horrible thing, but the way that they're approaching it and that they don't see anything but what they're told, they think that this climate change is detrimental, that we're going to die. When they literally think that they're going to die if we don't do this thing. That's what I see as COVID.
Yeah. You hear it in their rhetoric, too, like even Klaus Schwab, and when he talks about the Great Reset, it's always kind of connected to the fear of global warming and climate change and all that is, and we're on the verge of a climate catastrophe. Yep. Well, they've been saying that for 19, 20 years now, even longer, if you go back to different kind of climate crises. It's interesting because it's all, I feel like, you know, use the fear to bring in the control measures and leverage the fear so that people will allow this level of kind of government control to come into their lives.
But the thing, I wish people would start seeing, like, it's like, so it's our fault again. So even though I have, it's our fault. Like, even though I don't own a company, even though I don't own a jet, even though I don't even fly like that much, like maybe 3 to 7 times a year, and 7's like a crazy amount. You know what I mean? Like, I drive, but I don't drive, like, lately I haven't been driving that much. You know what I mean? Like, so you're saying it's our fault, but, like, the guys that – it's okay for Gavin Newsom to fly to Hawaii, or it's okay for Trump or Biden or any of these people to fly all over to fucking go have a meeting. It's just so hypocritical. It just makes me laugh. I'm like – and people don't see, like, every time it's our fault. Like, maybe they – I know these people spin it in their head, like, where they're like, well, it's not my fault. It's these other stupid people's fault. I'm like, dude, we're the same team, you idiot. I know you think you're a progressive. I know you think you're – a conservative. I know you think you're center, you know, blue, or whatever the hell you want to call yourself, or an anarchist. We're still on the same team because we're not. If you're under $100,000, we're on the same fucking team.
Yeah, big facts. The real funny thing too with the election cycle, where you're seeing it too, is like Biden and Harris were both very, like, you know, anti-climate change, you know, trying to bring a lot of awareness to it. And they're doing the same thing Trump's doing, where they're taking private jets to go to these rallies around the country. It's, you know, at least Trump has the cojones to stand, what, you know, behind what he preaches. He's not, you know, falling for that climate change stuff, at least from what he says. It's interesting, though. There is definitely a fear for, like, the scarcity of oil and stuff. And that can be a big factor, especially if we're, like, looking at economic collapse. I think that will be a major key to like, the way our kind of government would operate in that time frame.
I've been like, you know, with all these like stories that have been piling up this whole year, it just keeps bringing me back to like not saying like necessarily the whole population control, but it does make a lot of sense to me. It just seems like they are trying to usher us into this new technocratic, you know what I mean, society where we're going to be watched 24/7, but they're trying to ease us into it, you know what I mean? And they're trying to justify it, and this is why it's good, this is the benefits, this is, and it's like every story, whether it's a COVID story, whether it's a story of like we were talking the other weeks, you know, about kids having Nerf guns or BB guns, it's any challenge to authority. That I think the whole point of 2030 is to eliminate the challenge to authority. And if there will be people that are against it, and they do know that. That's why in that one article with the World Economic Forum, they talk about people being in sewers and living in, like, you know, off the, out of the, like, you know, whatever they call their zone. And because they know that there will be people that will lose, because they will let them, because they're like, well, we don't have to, you know. Because AI is going to be a big thing. Like, I've watched a lot of stuff about, you know, the new AI. There's a couple trucking companies that are fully AI.
And
that's going to be a huge hit, man. And that's why, like, at first, like, Yang resonated with me at first, because he was the only one talking about that. He was talking about, like, hey, AI is going to, you know, trucking is one of the biggest. It's the backbone of America. Like, people don't realize that. That's, like, one of the most common jobs for people. AI. I just got out of jail, like, whatever you have, like, I didn't go to high school, whatever it is, you can still make $40,000 to $100,000 depending on your hustle and depending on, you know, the luck of what you get into and get involved with. But
yeah, and I think that's where automation, like you're saying, the AI and stuff that's coming in, it's going to go after trucking very first and foremost, and then a lot of other blue collar jobs. But, you know, it, I guess that would tie into like the whole population control part of things, where they don't think they're going to need as many people to manage an economy and a workforce. But I don't know. I think it's kind of like, I don't see how they're going to be able to pull it off quickly. It's got to be a long-term plan, very long-term and kind of slowly drawn out. But it's been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
For sure,
but they've like already kind of established a lot of it, I think. Like, and I think they've
worked for it.
Like, we're already at each other's throats. Like, I see people all the time. Like,
it's true.
Even me sometimes, like, someone comments something and I'm like, oh, they were like, dude, I was just joking. I'm like, oh, my bad. Like, sorry, I was ready to just gun off some. I like talking shit anyway, so. But, like, we're already, like, at people's throats. Like, even me, like, sometimes, like, I go out and I'm like, I don't know what these people are thinking, man. Like, I don't know if we're on sides, like, because people are drawing, you know, sides, and we haven't talked much about it, but, like, there's that whole thing of the whole Proud Boys and Antifa, that whole psyop where they've been, like, chasing each other. There's been, you know, Proud Boys in D.C., you know, in Sacramento, in Portland, like, you know, they're going around saying, fuck Antifa. This shit kind of makes me laugh, though. That's just kind of funny. And then
they were kind of uncontested for a while, too, so it's, I guess it's, I don't know. There's a lot going on there, I feel like. Maybe it's kind of a natural thing, too, because, like I was saying, Antifa's kind of had an unrivaled presence on the streets for a long period of time. But the Proud Boys coming in now, the timing is like, where tensions are very high, and it's just only going to get higher, I think, closer to January 6th, January 20th. It's kind of a powder keg right now in this country.
Yeah, and it kind of plays into the hand, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It plays right into the hand of what the globalists want to do.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, brother, man, it's we got 1 minute and 43 seconds.
These hours always go by so quick. Yeah. Like, well, always a fun conversation, and it's good to kind of, like, break down the Mockingbird media, like, the propaganda, you know, just for myself, but everyone that's here, we appreciate you being here and hope to see you next week.
Yeah, and remember, it's every Sunday at 8 o'clock, you know, not 8 sharp all the time, you know, things happen, we're regular people. But, like, yeah, every Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, me, Sean, Chris, my homeboy Sebastian Farr, a.k.a. Seabass, And like you said, we're here to break down the Mockingbird media propaganda and kind of see which way they're trying to lead us with. We'll probably try to touch more. Maybe we'll see if we can do like a Wednesday episode. We'll check our schedules. I know it's a holiday weekend, so we might be pretty good. And we'll try to break down the Nashville because we need to break it down a little
bit
more.
There's a lot of info there. I've been kind of digging into it a bit, but it would be interesting to go further into it, especially with everything else too.
All right, thanks for everybody tuning in. All right, you know how we do it. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
Donald loves Nazis. Donald loves Nazis. CNN say that he's KKK. And he shouts Sieg Heil with it. Wow.